Rolling.
Bang boom, it's Upgrade America. I'm Cameron Ra, here with CJ the finish it. Flawless victory. Day Slayer. It's Wednesday. We got a bonus episode for you. What are we talking about today, bro?
We're going to talk about civic engagement with our federal, state, and local government through an app. And we already talked about voting with an app with secured by blockchain, but we're also going to kind of debate about term limits and age limits when it comes to government.
Cool. So let's get into it. We talked about our dating app and how we're going to roll that out and everyone's going to find love and happiness and upgrade America. But today we're talking about how we're going to use another application to do quite a bit of upgrading to our beloved country. So, CJ asked before on a couple episodes back, what would be the first thing I would do in the likely event I was elected president of the United States? And one of the things, or the first thing I said, it wouldn't be to end the border crisis, because that's not going to be done in the first 90 days or so. The first thing I would do in the first 90 days is roll out a feedback mobile application that would allow citizens across the nation to, one, verify their identity, and then give valuable feedback, help create policy, and, you know, hold me accountable, and, you know, our fellow lawmakers. That's what we're discussing today, how we're going to build this thing, why we're going to build this thing, and, you know, how it's going to upgrade America. But what are your thoughts, CJ?
I think that's what's missing in government. I think a lot of times the only way we really hear about what the government's doing is headlines through traditional, I would say, outdated media, mainstream media.
I couldn't agree more. And it's like, we have social media and it's such a powerful tool, but what I'm seeing it being used for is trying to imitate the mainstream media and Twitter, X, what have you. It is a very powerful application, and I believe something like Twitter could be used to not only provide feedback from citizen to lawmaker and vice versa, but it could also be used to hold sessions, draft policy in real time with people across the nation. Like, really think about a Twitter thread, and then there's constant talk of trolling and whatnot, but imagine it being wielded constructively.
Yeah.
Like, I've built mobile applications over Skype, over WhatsApp, never meeting the developer. The developer's over somewhere in one another country, and like, things are manifesting. If such a tool is wielded responsibly and proactively, we can upgrade America. Here, I want to read some benefits on why we want to do this. So, such an app would provide increased transparency. And what I mean by that is, as CJ said, we just get news on the headlines, and more often than not, it's after the event has occurred. With an app like this, if the people are involved while the bills are being drafted, there's going to be some transparency. What do you think?
Yeah, and also I'm thinking about, like, you can also put a timeline to it. We were discussing this earlier, that every week we should have a weekly press conference on what we're doing in government. And it should highlight those policies that we're getting feedback or asking for solutions. Hey, this is where we are on this right now. We've already talked to the House of Representatives. We talked to the Senate. Now we're trying to vote on this particular law. Based on your feedback and construction and your opinions, this is what we'll do, blah, 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 blah.
And that's freaking brilliant, because think about it. Yeah, we have very smart people in office. You know, you gotta be smart just to get there, even if you get there by cheating. But anyways, like, very brilliant people in office. However, they don't have all the answers. So by providing a credible channel a validated channel. We're talking about validating your ID, similar to what Elon Musk proposed. You have now have the opportunity to get ideas and strategies from the U.S. citizens, from the populace. And you may have to filter through the BS, but you're sure to find some gems.
And just as a real quick disclaimer, all this will be verified by your state ID. So it's not like bots and all this shit. Like, they're going to know they're dealing with an actual constituent, an actual citizen. That's very important. Same thing vice versa from their side, from the politician side. We're going to know that's them, even though it could be their staff or whatever. We know how that works. But overall...
I think in this case, even with the politicians, if that's not Joe Biden behind that picture, then it shouldn't be. It should be, unless you're handicapped, it should be who the ID holder is.
Okay.
So I want to make that clear to the users out there.
Okay,
also,
that's fair.
I want to make it clear that this is not a push for, how do you say... Internet ID. I have mixed feelings about that. I still believe in internet anonymity. I believe I know.
It's a tongue twister.
What it means to be anonymous on the internet.
Yeah, there you go.
Not the terrorist group, just, you know, to be secretive. I believe in that. And I suppose this is why Twitter and this application, we're calling it FedTalk, not married to the name. But yeah. Like, this is why Twitter... And that application should be separate. So you can have your little anonymous, you know, pseudo handle names and stuff like that. But then when you really want to get down to business and talk directly to your lawmakers, you have this application where you have been verified and you can directly talk to them.
And another benefit, low key, is everybody has their smartphone. On them most of the time. I know sometimes the politicians in certain areas they can't have their phones in there, but overall they're going to have their phones on them.
Agreed.
That's real time feedback and response and all that. So I think that's another like key benefit for that as well. But go ahead.
But another key benefit is like they say that Twitter is a Times Square, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is like, when you go to Times Square, do you see a bunch of people walking around with masks on their faces? No, you don't. Well, I mean, in New York City, you see it all. But, like, most of the people walking around in the Times Square, they don't have masks on their faces. And this is an analogy for those anonymous accounts.
Mm-hmm.
When you have FedTalk, you're going to have a real Times Square because the people aren't going to have masks on their faces. It's going to be transparent. You're going to know that you're talking to your former middle school teacher. You're going to know that you're communicating with the person next door to you. You're going to know that that gentleman you're tempted to troll is like 300 pounds and he'll beat you to a pulp because he knows who you are. So I believe there's going to be a higher degree of professionalism and, you know, it'll be more constructive like that.
Yeah. You can go ahead and continue with the rest of the list.
Okay, so we're going to have direct engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Once more, it's like, yeah, you can directly engage with AOC on X. However, there's like millions of users who may not even be American citizens, maybe robots and stuff. So she's going to be very reluctant. And I'm not speaking for her, but she may be very reluctant to engage with you back. However, if you're reaching out to her on FedTalk, then it's like she's going to know, one, hey, that's Cameron Ross. Heck yeah, I'm going to respond to him. All up in my DM. But like, just saying, you'd have direct engagement. So a third benefit is efficient communication. And really, CJ, can you tell us about your experience in writing your lawmakers?
Definitely a delayed response, the same response, obviously, a canned response, an auto response. And that's kind of it. They'll follow up. Oh, thank you. We received your whatever, blah, blah, blah. They'll give their auto, and that's kind of it. They don't follow up. Hey, Mr. Johnson, I like what you, it's none of that shit. It's never any of that. No kind of response. So it's kind of in vain. I'm still doing it because that's what we said we're going to do on Upgrade America. We're solution based. So go ahead.
You know me, I play the devil's advocate, but like, so you're writing a letter. Mm-hmm. You obviously put your surname and everything like
that. Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, it's like, how much detail are they getting about you? Mm-hmm. Beyond your signature and your first and last name. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you took your time to write a letter, but it's not, when the person is reading the letter, they're getting a very vague image of who they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. With FedTalk,
okay,
you're going to be linked to a profile. So you're going to have your profile with your picture, obviously, your ID and what have you. And then it's like all the pertinent information, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So now they're going to be like, oh, this person who expressed whatever their grievance was, they're going to associate with a face and some additional pertinent information to, you know, to make it more personable.
Gotcha.
So that's why, you know, the third bullet we have is efficient communication. So the next is enhanced trust. And again, I emphasize, this is not internet ID or whatever the buzzword they're using for that digital ID. Yeah, that's what it is, the digital ID to gain access to the internet. This is not that. All this is saying is that it's similar to Twitter Blue. It's just, you're going to be, it's not even called Twitter Blue anymore, but Twitter X Premium or whatever it is. Like, where you pay on X, you have to send in your ID and do some validation. It'll be a similar process, but you would really use your government name. You would really use your picture. And if you... everyone's going to push back and say, oh, it's intrusive, but if you want to talk to AOC in person, you're not going to put a mask on your head. You're not going to put a bag over your head and you know, hide your face and then try to talk to your lawmakers. No, you're most likely going to see them face to face. So it's the same thing, only digital. Next bullet, data security. Everything's going to be on the blockchain. So no trolling, because it's forever. You can't delete that post or what have you. It's going to be there forever. And this goes for citizens, you know, who may be upset, but it also goes for our lawmakers. Uh-huh. So if you do post your dick pic by accident, yo, it's there. I mean, I'm sure it can be redacted or something, but like, there's going to be a record. And because it's on the blockchain, you're going to have transparency, but overall security. Any additional comments on security?
No, just finish all the points. All
right, so we have facilitated governance, and I ranted on before about how, I don't want to say that people are using X wrong, but like, you have a platform where you can talk to millions of people with the push of a button, and then millions of people can interact. And if you all are harmonizing on the same goal to upgrade America, can you think of how much work could be done with our thumbs? You know, oh, I'm taking shit, like, oh, let me draft some policy. No. How do you feel about that? Like, you know what I mean? So it's facilitated of governance, and this is like the easiest way to get everybody involved. And where it benefits is like, yeah, there's gonna be a lot of haters talking. And if you're a lawmaker, like, negative feedback is gold. Because one, you know who to pander to. But, or you could do your job and address the grievances of the many. So, again, 6 is facilitated governance. 7, accessible feedback. And feedback is a loop. You know what I mean? It goes both ways. And this is a great way to do it. And because we're going to have feedback, we can hold lawmakers accountable. And that's how stuff's going to get done. Upgrade America.
Cool. I guess I add my little 2 cents to close that part out. We were having a very lively discussion about this, and we were talking about, that's what's wrong with government today, is the fact that we really don't have any input like we should. Granted, when we go to the polls, of course, you have the input, but you got to factor in lobbying. You got to factor in campaigns, dark money, you know, all these LLC foreign entities that have interest in swaying elections. Like, you got all these different factors. We feel like if we were to develop this voting and feedback, one in the same, well, they would both be in the same, right? Securely, we're in the future. Everybody uses their phones, tablets, sometimes desktops, maybe. I think we can get more civic engagement, which is the purpose of democracy.
Bravo.
And I think this is the way of the future, and I think we need to act on this. And I think that Cameron and myself, we are going to figure out a way to do this, because we're tired of the same old. This is bullshit. We got all this tech and we're not using it properly.
I fully concur. And it's like, there's obviously going to be, how do you say, there's going to be hardware requirements. You obviously need to capture your face and capture a, by capture your face, I mean a, you're going to have to, through video or, you know, the functionality on your phone where you can open up it, your phone with your face, something like that, in order to validate who you are. You got to send in your state ID. Cross-reference the two. But sprinkle a little AI in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just really authenticate it. It's got to be very thorough. And, you know, 2024. Freaking robots. Robots are coming and doing mad work. But we can't vote on our phones. Like, let's get it together. Apple, Samsung, get in the same room. Let's make this happen.
And this is the other thing, too. We're not saying get rid of the other ways of voting. We're saying add another way of voting. By having this app to vote with, you now can have damn near 100% participation in elections. And the other thing we were talking about was making this available for state and local elections. Also, knowing when to vote, when the elections are, and each person who is running their campaign, their background, and what policies they're running on. Now you have all that information and their record. If they're already an incumbent or somebody that's already been, they're running for re-election.
Like a leaderboard.
Exactly. And I think when we're talking about transparency, that's a problem. I can tell you locally, I find out about election, like, oh shit, it was an election? Damn, when would that happen? There's no notice, there's no advertising, there's no nothing, but if you do it on this app, like we're suggesting, you can run all the ads on social media, YouTube, TikTok, as long as it's still around, Snapchat, Facebook, the ancient Facebook, Instagram. You can run ads on this stuff. We're on all of these shits all the time anyway. So I feel like we get better civic engagement, more voter participation. We would eliminate gerrymandering issues. Oh, we don't have enough voter participation. Oh, it equals out on both parties, even though we don't believe in both parties. But still, neither party has an excuse anymore when it comes to voting.
Above all, perhaps the black vote will get acknowledged, as black people will have no excuse not to vote if you can do it from your mobile phone. But if we do roll this out, right?
Okay.
Or I mean, rather, when we roll this out.
Say when, yep.
Do you think the American people will lean in favor of eliminating term limits or initiating term limits? Or, how do you say, voter or age limits
for office? I think both things would change as people get more engaged in policy making. I think that's the importance of the feedback loop, okay. Right? If we now have the American public trained, essentially, that they know every week they can expect an update on policies that they contribute their opinions, their ideas, and their criticisms to.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot more civic engagement. Now you know, damn, this week, oh, I got to check out, see what happened with this law that I said something about. And then also with that feedback loop, they have to respond with a response like, hey, this is what your constituent, whatever state or whatever, they have to respond back. Hey, this is what we're fighting for, blah, blah, blah. We heard you, da, 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 da. Everybody gets a notification back to know that their criticism, opinion, or solution was heard. And I think that's when you can start getting into term limits, age limits, because now you got the people invested and they're involved.
I agree. And it's like lawmakers are going to look at it so totally. They're going to be like, this is a voter. This is a voter. They're going to see the people on this as voters. But I was totally trying to transition to the conversation.
No, it's fine.
How you say the conversation we were having before between the age limits. Like, let's get into that and also the term limits. Like,
okay, so let's break down what we have so far, right?
All right.
So senators can keep running basically until they retire. As long as they get elected, they don't have term limits. Senators, right? House of Representatives, I think, I don't think they have term limits either.
That's what I'm saying. I don't believe they do.
So
either.
They don't. President has two term limits, obviously. Supreme Court Justice, lifetime appointment. Mm. That's a problem.
I agree.
What's the other? I'm thinking. I think we covered everybody, right? Senate, House of Representatives, President, Supreme Court Justice. I think that's everybody, just in general.
I think those are relevant talking points.
Yes.
But why you mention Supreme Court Justice and lifetime appointments? It just gave me chills, man. And it's like, when these people are voted in, I would say every time they're voted in by a party. And whenever I think of bipartisanism, it's like I think of polarized people and committed polarized people. So it's like I'm talking about vote blue no matter what they do, you know, and
vote red until I'm dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like it's you. Why it's I want to say dangerous is because you have people with lifetime appointments that are non-compromising, if you get what I mean. It's like there is no middle ground. Like it's I'm blue, I'm red, and this is where I stand. And what I mean by that is like the abortion rights. Folks who are on the red, that's you already know where your stance is on that. But if it leans one way too heavy, it's a lot of power. But that's my main reason why I think there should be terms for that.
So what I know we've gone back and forth probably season 2, 3 maybe. We probably touch on it probably every season at some point. What would be the term limits for Supreme Court justice? What would you think would be ideal?
So, we're talking about, like, judicial. And anything, if y'all know anything about courts, is they move slow. And as much, you know, you have appeals processes and things of that nature. So, it's like, a part of me wants to say 8 years, but that's not much. And another part, I feel 12, but then that can seem excessive. So I'm somewhere between 10 and 12.
Okay.
And what I would suggest after a term, because the main concern is like, oh, you know, if this judge gets out while, you know, important legal proceedings are going on, like the judge is lost, like, I would suggest that they come back. If you still got it in you, then you can come back as a contractor or, you know, or some sort of consultant and work along with the incoming judge. But that's how I would feel about Supreme Court. What about you?
I agree. I think it should cover two terms so you keep some stability. But I think we need to cycle through fresh judges. And don't be afraid to pick younger lawyers to become a Supreme Court justice. We need people who are in today's time. I'm not scoffing at the wisdom and the age of elected officials, but I am acknowledging that you do have to get younger at some point. You can't keep having the same older people in there, staying there, knowing that they pretty much had the same mentality. I'm not saying older people can't be open-minded, but let's be honest, like, there are some ways you're just going to be stuck in as you get older.
I concur.
So I agree with you. I think 10 years is a happy medium. Now, with the Supreme Court justice, this also goes back to, we're going to do it, I guess, step by step, but should there be age limits tied to that as well?
I say no. And I forget the gentleman's name, but I was listening to this a really great podcast on Sean Ryan podcast, and it was like the gentleman was 84 years old, and he was sharp, like very sharp, sharper than, you know, than guys younger than me, and that gentleman, among others, was one reason why I would not say age limits, because it's not a universal thing. I told you, you know, my legal situation, and I encountered folks who were in their 50s. But man, they look like 70. But at the same time, you have folks who are talking about, like, Sylvester Stallone, who's, I don't recall his age.
I think he's 70. He's up there. Something like that. Yeah,
you got Chuck Norris. He's like 80-something, and he was rolling and doing judo. Like, shout out to you, fellow defender.
Who?
Air Power.
Space Power.
AEF. But, you know, it's... You know how I got to this about, like...
No, you're giving examples. No, you're giving examples.
As far as the age, there's testament to my age. I'm only 40, and I'm losing my train of thought. But age is not a... It's not a universal thing.
Okay.
So, I couldn't... Like... Even the notion of, how do you say, you have to be 35 to become president. It doesn't mean, like, everyone at 35 is competent and capable and knows all life's lessons to run the free world.
But I would argue that at least at 35, for the most part, you got all that dumb shit out. You're not doing as much dumb shit as you probably would be doing.
I am the Lord and Emperor of dumb shit. Still doing dumb shit at 4 years. And I'm learning my lesson, but... Nah, man, it's like life is a learning experience, and age is, it's like this, man. Like, there are lessons, plenty of lessons in life. If you didn't learn it, and they're not all taught in university.
Absolutely, you know, not. You got life in university.
And if you didn't learn those lessons, then you could be more ignorant than someone in their how do you say, a 70-year-old man could be more ignorant than someone in their 30s who learned all those lessons about women and money and things of that nature. Like, you know, same thing in regards for the White House. Like, there are experiences that you need to be a suitable leader. But age, I do not think is pertinent in that regard.
I will concede this. I will say, if you have term limits, age is not as much as a factor.
Yeah.
But I will caveat that with say, or I will say, exception is, I don't want somebody 80 running for president for the first time, just for example, or 80 going to Supreme Court justice, like, or 80 being like, I'm all for doing stuff at whatever age you can, as long as you're able and competent to do it. But at the same time, the biggest thing and the biggest problem we're having, like I was expressing earlier, is these people that are older, they're holding on with a death grip to their power, and they're not relinquishing it. And then there's the other possibility. Okay, they relinquish it. Well, the person they probably groomed is going to take up the mantle in their same thought process.
You would assume, though, but if they're from a different era, there may be values they share. but they may take it and run it a whole
That's our way. Hope. And that's the reason why I want to keep fresh ideas, fresh people, fresh diversity.
I agree.
In government. So we got Supreme Court justice out the way. So what I've been really infuriated with, and I'm not an ageist, right? Mm-hmm. But seeing this presidential election coming up and seeing that both of these motherfuckers are they're pretty much 80. I got a problem with that. And nobody has been honest. And the Democrats are weak. And honestly, the Republicans are weak for letting this shit go on. Mm. And they should have been like, yo, you both guys had your time. Y'all need to step to the side. They need to do their backroom deals. Pull these motherfuckers to the side. Hey, we got you over here. You don't need to be running for president.
You Biden, know what it's going to take.
You need to sit your ass down. You don't need to be running for president.
I dare say what it would take.
Okay.
Is a wide scale cyber attack. Mm. To where it's like Joe Biden doesn't understand the technical terms and how the enemy is engaged, nor does Trump. Like, they need a young technical person in there who can take command and control. Mm-hmm. And deal with such an incident that's unprecedented. It's not a conventional war. It's not send the tanks here and aircraft there like they taught us in the academy. Nah, it's like, yo, son, like, they're hitting us with, like, EMPs and DDoSs and what have you.
Yeah.
But it would take something unprecedented. Mm-hmm. Are we on the cusp of that? Except.
All I know is it's very frustrating, and most American people have voiced their frustrations. Mm. Even if they like Biden or Trump, they're realizing, they're also saying these motherfuckers too old to be running. Like, just say it what it is.
I fully concur, and it's like what it is. So at the end of the day, and they made it a popularity contest.
Absolutely.
And if you can, I'm referring to the founding fathers, and if they can raise attention, raise money, then you get the big white house.
Yeah.
And will it change?
So I say for president, yeah, it should be an age limit. Because we already got the term limits. So that's not the problem. It's the age limits now. This is a shining example of why we don't need these motherfuckers in. I'm sorry.
I push back.
We don't need them in, bro.
So, like, what I used to, when I used to troll on Twitter, X, what have you, you see the folks who got, like, mad. I'm talking about like a million followers. Mm-hmm. Or so. And they're like, they complain. And I said something along the lines like, don't complain, run for Congress. If you have that many followers, you're bound to get a seat.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can, young people with social media, mm-hmm. they can disrupt mad stuff. And then if you have that social media clout, you got real authenticated people, you can take a chair. Take a Senate seat.
Could.
If you got the juice in the cojones or the tatas, you could run for the White House. Yeah. Assuming you're 35.
Yeah.
Born in America, lived here for at least 14 years.
So we need term limits on House of Representatives. Same shit. Two terms.
Throw a number. Two terms?
Yeah.
I could see that. And it's like, it's because it's in uniformity with, how you say, the presidency.
Yeah. So everything should be two terms. Senator, two terms. What's the other thing left? We got Senate, House of Representatives, Supreme Court Justice, President. I think that's it, for the most part.
Yeah, for these talking points. Like.
But I do think we have shown that we do need term limits in conjunction with age limits. And we have countries that have done this as examples. I think Canada has age limits and term limits, and I think Germany does. I think Great Britain. I think Australia.
Would there be a window for exceptions?
Sure. Like, I think it comes down to competency, right? Mm-hmm. Physical health, obviously. You got to be able to do the job. I think if you can manage those three things where it doesn't seem like you need a lot of assistance, you don't need any assistance, like you can independently function mm-hmm. as a human and while doing your job, then I have no problem with it, but I still don't want to see an 80-year-old running the country.
Well, since we're making radical suggestions to our political process, I would throw out that you cannot be commander-in-chief mm-hmm. if you have not first served in a military structure.
Mm, okay.
And I know people would be aghast and like, oh, nah, man, you don't get to send men and women to die and you haven't stood in those shoes.
That's true.
So either commissioned or enlisted, that must be a... That would be a prerequisite. But maybe I'm a little biased because I've done that.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. The only thing that's unfortunate is not as many people have served. Do you think we would have enough veterans that could serve in elected positions?
Or let's run that back. Do you think more people would be inclined to serve?
Maybe.
But it's like, again, I know George Washington, he owned slaves and, you know, he like took our ancestors' teeth and shit, but he was a fucking warrior. Like, he participated in the battles, you know what I'm saying? And even before that, he was doing gangster shit. But me and my adoration for strong men, like, yeah, I think that would be a prerequisite. And I'm just fantasizing because... You know, not gonna make those changes just yet, and even that would be like a big, how do you say, constitutional amendment upgrade to enforce that. But
You know what it falls under, ironically, the Civil Rights Act, equal opportunity.
Oh yeah, you're right.
It falls under all that shit.
If you have people who are ineligible for military service, then you would get away with it.
Yeah,
but it's just like, I mean, you really love America, like. Then go serve your country another way before you. And I'm talking about for future candidates. Like, it's voluntary. Go volunteer to really serve your country and get that experience. Because if you really got the juice to take the White House, you're going to send men and women in uniform to die. So it's best to stand in their shoes first.
Yeah. What else are we going to talk about on this one? I think that's pretty much it, right?
So we talked about the app, we talked about the term limits. I really thought there was another subject that we had on there too.
Damn.
But while I got your attention, I just saved 20% on car insurance.
I think that's it, man. We're going to wrap it up. Yeah, keep this one short.
This is our Wednesday bonus episode. You know what I mean? But just let that marinate and think of technical ways to make our country better. And technology is a force multiplier, meaning like if technology can do the job, it can be working 24/7. And you know, so it's going to take a lot of work to upgrade America. What are your thoughts, bro?
We want to get this app up and functional and be able to implement this. This should be the last election, at least presidential, federal, we'll say presidential, where you don't have an online, secure online way of voting. I think we're going to aim to get this implemented somehow. And then obviously we can work our way down state and local.
For real.
So yeah, we're really excited about this. It's something I'm actually really passionate about, because if we got the tools, why not use them? So that's about it, man. We're gonna keep it funky, man. Slide up out of here.
Always a pleasure rocking with y'all upgraders.
Like, share, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend, upgrade your home country, and to all our American citizens, our fellow Americans, make sure you upgrade where you live.
Facts.
Peace.
Peace.